Good afternoon. I pass by a Baptist church on the drive home from work every day. Have you ever noticed that some churches, especially Baptist churches, have signs in the front of their property with humorous and catchy phrases? It got me thinking, maybe as part of our renovation and restoration work here at St. Albert the Great, perhaps we can have a sign installed at the corner of Metric and Bitter and Hollow for such a purpose. What do you think, Father Charlie? Just kidding. In particular, I find these signs about hell hilarious. If you think it's hot here, imagine hell. Or, no, it's not hot as hell. Or, think it's hot here, hell is even hotter. While funny, these signs serve as a reminder of something that we, as a society, and as an increasingly secularized culture, have either forgotten about or do not want to think about: sin and hell. Now, I think we can all agree that these are all attributes of God. God is faithful, God is loving, God is merciful and forgiving. God even has a great sense of humor. I think we all have experienced God's sense of humor at one point or some point in our lives. Take what happened to me on Friday night, for example. Teresa and I intended to just be young adults at heart when we attended the Call by Name event with renowned Catholic speaker Paul J. Kim that was hosted by Abide, St. Albert the Great Young Adults. Everything was going according to plan until the break when I heard someone called out to me, "Deacon, Deacon." It was Father John. Long story short, I had the blessed opportunity to help him with adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. What happened was a perfect example of how God's plan is always so much better than my plan. But I digress. All this to say, our Father in heaven is faithful, loving, merciful, and forgiving. That is very true. However, let us not forget, He is also a God of justice. A judge, a just judge, who will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. Sounds familiar, right? We profess this in the creed at Mass. Now here's another truth, my sisters and brothers in Christ. We are all sinners in need of God's divine mercy, all of us. Yes, we are all sinners, and if we think otherwise, then we are being dishonest with God and with ourselves. Rather, we should humble ourselves and, in the words of the prophet Ezra, confess, "My God, I am too ashamed and confounded to raise my face to you. Oh my God, for our wicked deeds are heaped up above our heads and our guilt reaches to the heaven." And actually, we do this when we pray the Confiteor and say, "I confess to Almighty God that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I've done and what I have failed to do. Mea culpa, mea culpa, mea maxima culpa." You see, when we turn to Christ with a humble and contrite heart, we will realize this, that mercy comes to us from the Lord our God, who has brightened our eyes and given us relief from our servitude. For slaves we are to our sins, but in our servitude, God has not abandoned us. How comforting and consoling are these words from the prophet Ezra, filling our hearts with joy because they remind us of how God is so faithful despite our unfaithfulness. God is so loving despite our waywardness. God is so merciful and so forgiving despite our sinfulness. And in today's gospel, the incarnate Word of God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who took upon himself our humanity in every way except for sin, talks to us about sin. But before we go to what our Lord says in today's gospel, let us reflect briefly on the nature of sin and hell. What is sin? Sin is an act of the will, our will, that causes us to be separated from God. While the Father gives us free will, the Son teaches us how to use it properly. We only need to recall what Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane. "Father, if you are willing, take this cup away from me. Still not my will, but yours be done." When our will does not align with God's will, we fall into temptation and sin. We all know about the seven deadly sins: pride, greed, lust, envy, gluttony, wrath, and sloth. Father Charlie did an entire homily series on the seven deadly sins for Lent a few years ago. He recorded a series of daily reflections on the seven deadly sins and the saints who struggle with sins, and that can be found on the St. Albert the Great podcast. I encourage all of us to find them, listen to them, and reflect on them. Now that is sin. What is hell? Hell, quite simply, is the absence of God for all eternity. We often say that we do not feel the presence of God in our lives. However, God is around us. For us Catholics, we believe in Christ's real presence in the Eucharist. He is ever present in his created world, in the plants and the animals that we enjoy and love so much. God is ever present in the miracle of life, from conception to natural death. He is ever present in the faith, hope, and love that we have for and share with each other as fellow Christians, as followers of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But not hell. Hell is the absence of God for infinite, unending time. So in today's gospel, the incarnate Word of God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, like I said, who took upon himself our humanity in every way except sin, talks to us about sin in a very personal way. As I reflected on this gospel, I discerned two lessons. Lesson one: never cause one of these little ones, or anyone for that matter, who believes in Christ to sin. Canon Law section 1752 states that the salvation of souls, which must always be the supreme law in the church, is to be kept before one's eyes. In other words, look to your right. Now look to your left. Parents, look at your children. Husband and wives, look at each other. Now ask yourselves, what can I do to get these loved ones of mine to heaven? It is as I tell all couples who take our Call to Be One marriage class, their greatest responsibilities as husband and wife is to get each other to heaven. Never forget that when we were baptized into the one body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God commissioned us, each one of us, with the salvation of soul when we participate in Christ's threefold mission: priest, prophet, and king, in how we live our lives. So great is this responsibility for the salvations of souls that St. Augustine had this to say: "If, however, you warn the wicked man to turn away from his wickedness, and he fails to do so, he shall die in his iniquity, but you shall have saved your soul." Lesson two: Jesus instructs us to do whatever is necessary to avoid sin and the near occasion of sins, saying, "If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out." Now please, please do not go home and literally cut out your extremities or pluck out your eyes. However, please, Please remove any objects that might lead you to temptation and sin, and replace them with holy objects such as crucifixes, rosaries, St. Benedict medallions, miraculous medals, images and icons of your favorite saints. And while you're at it, set up a prayer nook or a war room. I think you get the idea. These two lessons are related because, as St. Paul wrote, "But God has so constructed the body so that there may be no division in the body, but that the parts may have the same concern for one another. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. If one part is honored, all the parts shall share in its joy." My sisters and brothers in Christ, we are the many parts of the one body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, called to help each other get to heaven, to participate in Christ's threefold mission for the salvation of souls. No doubt that this is a tall order, but what choice do we have, especially when we consider the alternative? Just listen to these words from St. Andrew Kim Tegong, priest and martyr. "On the day of judgment, those who have grown to maturity in the grace of God will find joy of adopted children in the kingdom of heaven. Those who have not grown to maturity will become God's enemies. And even though they were once his children, they will be punished according to their deeds for all eternity." The key to all this, I believe, is our relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and our relationship with one another, one that is rooted in faith, hope, and love. Jesus asks each of us this timeless question: "Who do you say that I am?" In other words, God asks us, "Do you know me? Do you love me?" What is our response? How we respond is a reflection on where we are in our Catholic faith. Let us ask the Holy Spirit to help us to grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ our Lord, who died on the cross for our sins, for our salvation. I leave you with these words from St. Jemna Galgani. "Then I said, Jesus, your will, not mine. At last, I am convinced that only God can make me happy, and in him I have placed all my hope."